is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Earlene McMichael. Did you know that Black women are the fastest growing group of small business owners? From 2007 to 2018, the number of Black female-owned businesses grew 164%. Overall growth for women-owned businesses rose 58% for the same period. Yet, things like this happen. Nicole Parkhurst, as a professor, once discouraged her from focusing on Black female entrepreneurship as a research topic for her master's degree.
I was told, well, actually, Black women aren't the fastest growing demographic. It's college students. And I said, well, no, it's Black women. The research is telling us that Black women are the fastest growing demographic, yet and still least funded, least supported, right? And not at these tables. You know, we have whole institutions that are creating programs such as social entrepreneurship and saying we are educating the next generation of change makers, but we are leaving a whole demographic of women who are doing this work out, right? We're not reflected in the curriculum. We are not reflected in your pitch competitions and other resources that are being created solely to fuel entrepreneurs, and Black women are not at the table.
Kalamazoo resident Nicole Parker and three of her sisters decided to form Sisters in Business. Joining me in the WMUK studios are Nicole and one of her sisters, Alisa. Also with us is Kalamazoo native Damara Gardner, founder of Black Women About Business, which this year is launching the three-city Be Well Fabulous Black Woman Tour. These three women started their groups to provide opportunities for skill building, support, and financing for female entrepreneurs of color. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
It is such a pleasure.
Glad to be here.
Damara, when did you start your group?
Yeah, so I had the vision to start Black Women About Business in January 2017, and I actually had the honor of working with these two lovely women during our initial phase of work. There's been a lot of pivoting since then, but yes, we have done some collaborative things in the past, and I appreciate them, and I'm so glad about where they're at.
And all three of you bring a wealth of experience, even though your organizations are fairly new. For example, Alisa is an attorney. One of the things that I have seemed to notice is it's hardly new that Black women have been entrepreneurs. We've been doing this since the beginning of time. Madam C.J. Walker. But here's something that I am noticing. I saw some statistics. American Express did the State of Women-Owned Business Report, and they commissioned that, and it was released in 2018. The number of Black women-owned businesses is really increasing exponentially. What have you all noticed locally? Is this a trend here with Black female-owned businesses? Who wants to jump in?
I will jump in.
This is Nicole.
It goes along with the national trends, and I actually did my research, my graduate research on that. And going to your point, it was entitled, Ain't I an Innovator? The Missing Narratives of Black Women in the Field of Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And yes, that trend in Kalamazoo is right along with the national trends of Black women who are creating their own businesses and nonprofits. And a lot of them are really trying to create change in community through business. And Black Women About Business, Sisters in Business, we're creating spaces to actually bring people together because we know this was happening, but where were the spaces to bring people together and support one another, resource one another, and help us grow together?
You talked about getting your master's in that area. Can you share that story?
My master's is in social entrepreneurship, and I focus specifically on Black women because I came across that report. And when I saw that number, it automatically made me think, okay, what is happening here? How are Black women being supported? I'm in a graduate program where I didn't see people who look like me, but the statistics told me something totally different. And so I began to research and dig into that, but I took a historical look at it to say, wait, like you said, Madam C.J. Walker and so many other women have done this before. There is a blueprint. That narrative of the blueprint of Black women who have utilized business as economic engines to fuel community has always been there, but we didn't have a place to elevate that. And so that's what that research really looked at and said, we have a history of this, and now how do we pair with modern day women who are coming up and creating amazing businesses that are changing communities and helping people?
You're listening to West Southwest. We've been talking to Nicole and Alisa Parker, founders of Sisters in Business, and Damara Gardner, founder of Black Women About Business, about the rise in Black female entrepreneurship. Alisa, let's start with Sisters in Business.
So with Sisters in Business. We started in 2017, December of 2017, and it really was Nicole's research that made us pivot into this. The idea was, we know that Black women are the fastest growing entrepreneurship group. And in Kalamazoo specifically, we started to look at not just Black women, but women of color in general. Because although we do have a wonderful, huge group of Black women in Kalamazoo, we also noticed that we had our brown sisters that were also having some of the same struggles. So our idea was, well, what would happen if we just do a brunch? And we started there because we felt that we needed to have just a gathering space. Where could we come together and just start a space for support and see what people need, see what people want? And so from there, we held our first brunch in December 2017. We thought if we get 20, 25 people, we're doing good. We ended up having to cut it off at about 55. So we knew something was there. We knew that women in Kalamazoo were definitely on track with the national trend and wanted to come together. There is this thing I say, it's a myth that people always say, Black women don't want to come together, Black women can't get along. And I'm like, that's not really been my experience in this work. From there, we started to get feedback that people wanted more. People wanted to find out how to get resource, find out how to connect with other women who are in business. So we did a second brunch in April, and then the City of Battle Creek Small Business Development Fund reached out to us and said, hey, could you all come to Battle Creek and do some stuff here? So from there, we put together a couple of workshops, but the real need that we started seeing is that women needed funding. Women needed to have access to capital, and there's a lot of things that are developing for entrepreneurs around getting loans. But we were saying there are so many other barriers for women of color, and especially our Black women, that loans can't be the only answers. And we sit at tables where we are seeing people walk into doors and be given all kind of angel investments for not having even fully put together ideas. But when Black women come to the table and have fully vetted ideas and fully vetted businesses, they're still running into barriers. So what can we do to remove those barriers so that we are giving our women access to capital that they need to start to produce their ideas and produce their businesses? So that's when we said, you know what, we're going to do a pitch competition, because that's one way to say, here are some funding that you can take as a seed for your business to get you started. A lot of times in business, you hear the word fail and fail fast, but we don't always have the luxury of doing that. And what does failure look like when you're a Black woman that's already being judged? And so we kind of have this idea of saying, how do we even give the resources so that we can fail and then we can learn and we can grow and then pivot and bring successful businesses that are going to help our communities and help our economic development overall.
And you did a pitch competition in Kalamazoo. You also did one in Battle Creek. About how much money did people get, and how many people were served? And where did the money come from?
So our first pitch competition we did in Kalamazoo in December of 2018, we gave away $1,500, and we also gave away some technical assistance prizes that probably equated to another $1,000, $2,000. And so those funds were given through both our ticket sales, and we had donations from people who just said, hey, we want to support the work that you do. In Battle Creek, we had various organizations come and help us give away money. So the City of Battle Creek, BC Vision, and missing one other donor that gave us some funding, but we were able to give away a total of $3,500. We also, in partnership with the City of Battle Creek, was able to give away a BC cargo space where an entrepreneur is going to basically have some overhead space to test out their business over the summer. And then that also had some technical assistance prizes as well.
Damara, let's talk about your group. You started Black Women About Business. I believe you said you did that in January 2017?
Yes, that's when we started.
Yeah. And is that group the actual organizer of the Be Well Fabulous Black Woman Tour?
Yeah, absolutely. So Black Women About Business is really all about helping Black women to put wellness at the forefront of their lives so that they can be successful. And so certainly entrepreneurs are a part of that, right? I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur for 12 years, operating a consulting practice where we specialize specialize in organizational development. So anywhere from strategic planning to business planning, evaluation, coaching, you name it. I'm a licensed therapist as well, and I have tons of wellness practices that have been integral to my life. And so this really gave me an opportunity to marry my love for wellness and my clinical background and being someone who has been an entrepreneur and who believes heavily in leadership development. So when we first started, there's been a lot of pivoting. I said, I want to do an incubation for entrepreneurs. Well, the work has really evolved because as I thought more about what is my real vision for this work, where do I see the market needs? And what I see is that women in general have a difficult time taking care of themselves, right? We are historically the last person on the list, and I see it more pervasive within Black women. And so this is not about pitting one group over another, but it's like intersectionalism, right? So when we talk about the wage gap, we can't just say that the wage gap is 76 cents to the dollar for women compared to men. That's true. But then when you look at Black and brown people, right, you're going to see a larger discrepancy, right? 56 cents to the dollar, for example, for Black women. So I really wanted to create a space where we could get the support that we needed related to entrepreneurship, leadership, as well as wellness, so that we can be wildly successful in business and life. So ultimately, the services that we provide under Black Women About Business on the business side are things like business planning, executive coaching, training, along with retreats. And when we say retreats, it's really open-ended. So the Be Well Fabulous Black Woman Tour is a retreat space. Things like a small, you know, multiple day retreat or a Black female business tour, that's a form of retreating. So it could be that we're together for 2 hours. It could be that we're together for several days, but we're in a space that's created for and by us. And we're putting wellness at the forefront and getting tools to be able to go deep in our wellness practice so that we can be more successful in life.
And the one in Kalamazoo will be on April 18th. That's a Thursday, right?
It is a Thursday.
And that's all day. And that's going to be at the Radisson Plaza Hotel. Does that kick off the tour?
So that kicks off the tour, right? I felt that it was important for me to start in my hometown, born and raised here. And we have a lineup of some amazing women. So Dr. Lynn Richardson, she's MC Light's business partner. She's a financial celebrity coach. She's been on the Steve Harvey Show several times. And she knows business. And so she's going to show up, do our opening motivational talk, Yes Girl, Yes, You Deserve Everything in Life. She's going to be doing a breakout session so that women can learn how to access multiple streams of income. We have the Black Health Academy, Lisa Smith, doing a lunch-in talk called Healing the Heart of the Black Woman. And then we've got Afrobeat Fit coming in from the Rhode Island, Boston area so that they can have a sweat session with all of us that's rooted in African hip-hop and everything in between. So we'll also have distinct tracks for business, for wellness, and for leadership. We have a couple times of intentional networking. Vendors will be there. And then I'm facilitating a strategy session at the end using the World Cafe model, because we oftentimes show up for these events and we get inspired, but then we go back to our lives. And so I wanted to make sure that people had an opportunity to think about, well, what does this inspiration mean for me right now? What does the knowledge and the skills and the tools mean for me right now, so that they can increase their chances of making changes once they leave this sacred space that we're creating related to the tour?
What are the other cities you're going to?
Yeah, so we're going to be in Detroit on May 14, and we're going to be in Grand Rapids on June 4.
MC Light. She's a trailblazing female rapper who has gone on to be quite an entrepreneur of her own and endorses this project. I have seen a video in which she is encouraging people to come out. So she does back the Be Well Fabulous Black Woman Michigan tour. You're listening to West Southwest. We've been talking to Nicole and Alisa Parker, founders of Sisters in Business, and Damara Gardner, founder of Black Women About Business, about the rise in Black female entrepreneurship. Can you tell me some of the issues that Black female entrepreneurs face?
My sisters talked about access to funding. I think being taken serious in business, right, which it correlates with being able to tap into the funding. I think being understood in business. So I've heard a lot of stories about people going to the very resources that are supposed to help them and being turned away, right, because there isn't this cultural competency lens that they're operating in. And the reality is that in business, even today, it's very whitewashed, right? We have a way of looking at business that sometimes is rooted in best practices about what a business should look like in order for it to be successful. And the reality is that the growth of our businesses speaks volumes about what is possible if we only had access to the same kinds of resources that other people had access to. So the fact that Black women in business are only making on average about $26,000 a year, that's a travesty. You can't sustain a family on that kind of income. And so I think that whether we're talking about technical support, whether we're talking about office space, being in community. So for 12 years, I was at my work alone, right? I was on an island. I had to learn everything that I know in business because I don't come from a business family. I don't have a business background. I have a clinical background. But I was able to, through being resourceful, tap into what I needed to know. But how many people don't have that kind of access to information? How many people don't have access to connections? So I think that we need everything that anybody else has access to make sure that our businesses thrive.
It's interesting that you should talk about money. Back to that study that was referenced earlier about women in business. Here's something I thought was interesting. You were talking about $26,000 Black women making, even though the sheer numbers of women of color entrepreneurs has gone up, the amount of money they're making mm-hmm. is going down. During that same period, non-minority owned women businesses was going up. Mm-hmm. Why is this, ladies?
Oh, I want to give my sisters time, but I want to say this
go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Part of it is that we don't have enough grace as a society for Black business failure. So we are not buying Black, buying Brown as much as we should, even though the kind of dollars, we are a trillion. We're worth $1 trillion annually in spending. Why is it that our Black businesses are not being supported, not just by people who don't look like them, but oftentimes people that look like them? And so we have to change that trajectory to make sure that we're being accountable to each other to ensure our success. So spaces like we're creating is about that in part. But there's so much more work that has to be done in order to change our mindsets about what it means to really support each other from a community standpoint.
I want to go back to reference the time frame that I was talking about for those numbers. It was, if I didn't say so, it was from 2007 to 2018. I want to ask you about this, talking about money. Could it also be to not wanting to pay us?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
We give a lot of freebies. I don't know. Could you ladies speak to that?
Let's talk about worth, y'all.
I was going to say it's worth. Worth coming from an external standpoint and internal, right? One of the things I talk about is internal disruption. We needing to understand our own worth, but society having to understand the worth of Black women. There was a study called The Real Unicorns of Tech that looked at Black women in the tech space and venture capital. And 0.02% of venture capital was given to Black women in tech in a 2-year period. 0.02%. And that is ridiculous when you're thinking about these are women who are creating solutions to problems within the tech space, not that is specifically for people of color, but to the tech space, right? And you're only getting 0.02%. That's the tech space, but that goes across the board when we're talking about who is investing their dollars into Black women, who is not only spending with them, but saying, hey, you're worth the money that I'm going to pay you. All of us are consultants, and I don't know how many times I've gone through the process with people and to see the response of what they want to give us, right? Like, as if we're not worth paying for our services. And I think, too, for ourselves, we do ourselves a disservice sometimes when we offer a lot of free things, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot that comes to that communal aspect, right? Mm-hmm. We want to protect and help and support our community. And I think having been in the D.C. area for some time and then being back in the Kalamazoo area, understanding value in business and what does that look like and what can people really afford, right? When I think about the economy of Kalamazoo versus the economy of D.C., what does that look like in trying to support a Black business? I may want to support you, but do I have the funds to support you? But it also still goes back to institutions and organizations who have the ability and the power to invest, just not doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's very intersectional. When I talk about our race, our class, our gender, that impacts how people value us and how they pay for our work.
So I'm Alisa. And just to echo what Nicole said, I think the other thing, too, is when we talk about like the perception of, and I think Damara hit on this, is how business is very whitewashed. And so what our best standards are, what our best practices are. I don't know how many times I've come across institutions that are saying, well, people aren't ready because they don't look a certain way. They're not coming a certain way. But then sometimes I go inside some of these same institutions and I'm working with businesses that are majority white, and they also don't have their things together. Mm-hmm. They also don't have systems, but yet you're given the benefit of, well, they're going to get it together, or, well, they have this, and so I am okay with giving this business $100,000, when the reality of it is you're giving this business $100,000 because they're white, not because they've proven to have things together. You also have a thing where a lot of times from a place of privilege, you'll have these businesses or institutions that are getting money through not loan dollars, not money that they have to pay back, but then they'll take those dollars and say, we're going to loan them out to these businesses of color. Mm. So you're going to take people who are already oppressed economically, oppressed socially, and give them a loan as a way to perpetuate economic development and stability. That's just further oppression. And so how we rethink some of these systems, how we rethink our language, there's oftentimes in business people say, you know, people have to put skin in the game and that kind of thing. When the reality of it is, when it comes to Black women, not only do we have skin in the game, we have our entire bodies, our entire livelihoods. Mm. Some of us have died and come back in business and in life, and yet society still says, well, you're not doing enough to be worthy. So I think it's the internal and external disruption, yes, but really changing that narrative of what it means to actually give to somebody in business, what it means to actually invest in a business, mm-hmm, and not making people feel as if you have to go through being loaned to death, you have to go through having to pay back, you have to put skin in the game, when you don't even realize that folks have already done it all.
Yeah, and I echo that 150%. And one thing that I want to share in addition to this, in terms of what we need, is that oftentimes we are showing up with this passion for the work, mm-hmm, right? So all business starts with passion. Well, we have to translate passion to business acumen if we're going to sustain our businesses. So that's the internal part, right? We have to be able to find out what are the resources available, and we have to tap into those resources, and we need to listen to the people that are doing the work, because we're here to help to make sure that you're successful, right? And so from an equity standpoint, one of the things that I really appreciate that's happening in the community right now is that you have folks at the city like Dorla Bonner, like Dwayne Powell, who are making sure that access is available for entrepreneurs that look like us, right? So like for the Be Well Fabulous Black Women Tour, they're providing a full scholarship for any aspiring or current entrepreneur who wants to engage in this work. So when we talk about equity, mm-hmm, let's be clear that without access, there is no equity, right? There's no equity. And this is not just in the business world, right? It's in the nonprofit world. So some of our foundations are giving inequitably to organizations, right? So this is a systemic issue that bleeds in every single industry that exists. And I think that we, through our efforts, although small, right, mighty, we can begin to change some of this, because the more that we begin demanding based on the knowledge that we have about what it means to be successful in business and in life, then we can push up externally against systems that continue to not have a seat at the table for us.
You're listening to West Southwest. We've been talking to Nicole and Alisa Parker, founders of Sisters in Business, and Damara Gardner, founder of Black Women About Business, about the rise in Black female entrepreneurship. One of the things that you are touching on is that if you basically want to be great at something, you need to be a continuous learner and you need to keep getting training. You need to invest in yourself. And those are the kinds of things that Sisters in Business is doing. Those are the kinds of things that you're trying to do with your Be Well, Fabulous Black Woman Tour. But as I thought about it, and I meant to do this earlier, let's give a shout out also to Nicole Triplett with her Black Wall Street, Kalamazoo. She is a female businesswoman. She's a therapist, and she started that kind of networking group in recent years. And she's put on something called the Black Expo. She did that last year. They're looking to do it again this year. And they have training tracks during that event and so on and so forth. But one of the things you also are getting at, Damara, is the fact that there's lots of resources out here, not just exclusively for people of color. There's groups out here, some of them for free, some of them it costs. But either way, it sounds like that we need to feel that those spaces are spaces we can go to and that maybe people need to think about going there, even if you're the only one. If you all had to say, what three things, if you want to give more, that's fine, but what three things do you wish female Black business owners knew? Or what have you learned that you're like, I wish I would have known that?
Yeah.
What would that be? Who wants to jump in?
I'll start. I would say that the importance of carving out space for myself to just reflect. I have done my greatest work when I have space where I'm just writing in my journal about my gratitude, about big questions that I have. Because that's where real creativity lies, in spaces. I mean, we can create without spaces, but we can really create with spaces that are intentional, that allow us to unpack. The second thing is that I wish I would have known how important relationships were early on. Like, I know that from a business standpoint, and I've said this a lot, that you can't go anywhere in business without relationships, not for the long haul. In my personal life, and that's also about wellness, I have fallen short in lots of ways. And so that's something that I am diligently working to change, because my tribe is everything. And I can only do so much within my own right. Now, I've been able to do a lot, but I'm always going to be limited without community. The other thing is that although I've always invested in myself through, you know, reading books and articles and professional development opportunities, I want to inspire other people to make sure that they're doing that for themselves too, right? Because investing in ourselves opens the door for people to invest in us. Some of my greatest business relationships have come about through networking. Some of my greatest ideas for work have come about through professional development spaces. So we have to begin thinking differently about what does it mean to invest in ourselves, because that's a part of worth too. So those are the three things that I would say that are nearest and dearest to my heart right now.
Nicole Parker with Sisters in Business, what would your advice be?
She is right. I literally this morning was writing in my journal before I came here, because I have been in this space of I need to get the work done. And I think that goes back to being a Black woman and feeling like everything is on my shoulders and I need to show up, right? But giving myself the space to slow down and think creatively, to learn what I need to learn, and give myself the space to heal. I think a lot of times we move from project to project, and saying that it's okay to step back and breathe. I think 2018 was a quick year for us. We did a lot. We did a lot of quick pivoting, a lot of events. But I came out of 2018 very exhausted and tired, and finally having a space to say, it's okay for me to give myself permission to step back. Being bold and going after what you want and not waiting is something that I would also tell people. I think oftentimes we as Black women, we stay in our heads a lot. We're thinking somebody may steal my ideal, so I don't want to go out. Being in community and sharing and collaborating with people is key, but you cannot be afraid to take a step. If we would have waited, we would have never been here. You know, I literally text my sisters one day and said, hey, let's do a brunch. They said yes. But what would have happened if we would have just continued to go forward and think about it, right? And I think there are a lot of women out there who literally are sitting on amazing businesses, products, and services that the world needs. Yes. So get out of your head and just take a step, take a leap, and the resources will meet you where they need to be. And don't be afraid to ask for help is my last one.
Alisa Parker, another founder of Sisters in Business, and I should also say you all founded that with two other sisters, so let's give a shout out to those sisters as well.
Yeah, shout out to Talisha and Tiffany Parker, who are other sisters who helped found the Sisters in Business. And I think that will go to my first point, is that sisterhood is everywhere and sisterhood is everything. I think having my sisters has allowed me to do all the things that I've done, and I can't be the person I am without them. But that greater idea of sisterhood exists in community, and that often when people ask us about, you know, how is it to work with sisters, I often say sisterhood is ugly, but it's the one thing I would never want to do without. Because it's relationships, and relationships go up and down. You have good days, you get mad at each other, and you love each other all in one space, right? But you don't throw your sister away. And in this journey, I think just really being open to who your sisters are in community has helped me to embrace other Black women in ways that I probably would have not done before, and really lifting up the idea that, you know, the things that people say that are hard about Black women, well, we've had hard lives and the society has been hard to us. But that brings me to my second lesson, which is giving ourselves grace and really articulating that. I know that I'm hard on myself, which then means I can be hard on other people. And I hold people to other standards, or standards that are sometimes unrealistic, but I hold myself to those same standards. And so when we talk about what is it like to support business and community, what is it like to support each other? Sometimes we just have to give each other grace because it's not that we're bad, or it's not that we don't have something right. But often when we hold ourselves to a standard that's impossible, you reflect that onto other people, and then we're a lot harder on ourselves as a community than we need to be, so we just won't be supporting each other. And so giving ourselves grace and giving myself grace has been a great lesson, and echoing what these two ladies have said about, you know, just that self-care and really taking time and saying no and being okay with the fact that if I can't show up to every single event, like, it doesn't mean that I don't love somebody. It doesn't mean that, you know, I don't support. But it's that space of giving myself grace to say, I actually really am tired and I need to go to sleep. Or I am sick and I probably shouldn't be around people. So giving myself grace. And I think the last thing is really just asking for what you want and not being afraid. And I think, you know, I think the biggest lesson in that has been, like, from a financial standpoint, is saying, you know, I really want this much, and being okay with saying, this is my price and this is what I'm going to demand. Because more often than not, you probably will get it. And I think just being bold and saying, this is how I want to show up in this work. This is how I want to show up in this space. I want to be authentic. No, I'm not changing my hair. No, I'm not changing how I look. Yes, I'm about to wear this, and you're going to be okay with it because I'm professional and I'm an expert and I know what I'm doing. I think it's okay. And I think at the end of the day, for those folks that don't want to work with you and don't want to deal with you or don't want to pay you the price, sometimes that's just the universe giving you an out. So just really being okay with, if there's a no to somebody not meeting the demand, it's okay, because there's another opportunity that will.
Girl, I just wrote about that in my e-news this week. Yes. I just wrote about when we need to walk away from relationships in my e-news, because I think that sometimes we stay at the table too long. And so if people are not reciprocating when we're reaching out to them, if people are skeptics, if people are trying to demean us in some way, those are not your people. And it's okay to say, thank you for your time, and keep it moving, because your people are out there waiting to hear from you, essentially. And so while you're wasting your time trying to cultivate relationships that are never going to manifest into anything, that it's okay for you to walk away, whether it's from professional relationships where there's potential for payment, where there's a potential strategic relationship. And even if it's simply that it looks good on the surface, but your intuition is telling you that something is not right, you better trust it. because the times that I have not listened, I have suffered as a result. You know, they look good on paper, they're saying all the right things, and when it comes down to it, they're not right for me. And so everybody that's right and looks good and saying good things is not necessarily in real alignment with your vision and your purpose. And you need to run like the wind when you come across people like that.
You know, I guess one question I wanted to follow up on, you know, here's what I know. They say the economy is getting better, right? However, while that may be true, the people for whom it's not getting better fast enough is for people of color. So you were talking about how maybe some people want to support these businesses and we don't always have the money to do so. That tension of how can people support Black businesses, maybe if not always in a financial way, or maybe in a financial way? What does support look like for Black businesses?
So I would say give grace, number one, but number two, there's so many different ways to support people. Social media has been a great outlet for Black business, actually, because it's not controlled by mainstream media, mm-hmm. although some of these new algorithms are. But sharing people's posts and also at the same time saying, how can I help you, right? I might not be able to pay, but hey, can I come in and support you? Do you need help? So another big statistic talks about a lot of Black businesses only have one employee, right? So until somebody can hire an employee, can I come in and help you? Like there was a woman who is over in Battle Creek because we do some work there, Simply Sensational Berries. And I went in the other day to her shop to support. And I was like, you know, she needs help. What does this look like to have people help her volunteer? Doing simple things like that and saying, how can I help you? I might not have the means to help you, but can I use my platform to share information? Can I recommend people to you? Can I volunteer for you? Can I provide donations for you, right? That is another way that you can do it. Just asking people for the help, I think, goes a long way in support. Just saying, how can I help you?
And I would say that if you are looking for a service, mm-hmm. having Black on the mind before you commit to a service. Because the reality is that I don't necessarily buy into the idea that we don't have the funds when we are sitting on $1 trillion annually. Where's that money going, right? So we do have the money. So for me, my snowplow person, my doctor, my dentist, my attorney, every single service that I need, I'm always thinking about Black first. Consultants that work with me, people that I hire. Now, of course, I have a variety of friends and a variety of clients from all walks of life, but unapologetically, I support Black business, right? Because we have to be models for the work. We can't pontificate about supporting Black people in business if our dollars are not investing in Black business.
I agree with both of what's been said, but as another way is when you have the little that you have, maybe you can't always show up, but you can send somebody. So what are ways that if you see, I'm going to put a shameless plug out there for like the Black Arts and Cultural Center. If you see that there's a play and I can't necessarily make it to this play, I can go buy like a couple of $10 mm-hmm. tickets. So what are the little ways that I can show up and leverage opportunity for somebody who may not have the ability? And then for those of us who sit at other tables, how can we make sure that when you're sitting at a table and they're talking about bringing in somebody's consultant, you can say, well, let me call Damara as a consultant because I know Damara is a Black woman-owned business and I know she not only is she phenomenal, but she can use this $10,000 that y'all about to just give to some Florida company or some company out of state. So how do we also, when we're sitting at tables and we're in board meetings and people are sitting around thinking about bringing somebody from out of town in to do great work, who are the people in our community that also are doing great work that we can give this money to so that their businesses can grow as well?
Very interesting discussion today about Black female entrepreneurship. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to a West Southwest interview with Nicole and Alisa Parker, founders of Sisters in Business, and Damara Gardner, creator of the Be Well, Fabulous Black Woman Tour, coming to Kalamazoo on April 18th. For more about these groups and the conference, visit wmuk.org. West Southwest is produced by WMUK, the public radio station licensed to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. You can subscribe to the podcast through Apple iTunes and Google. There, you can leave a rating and a review. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Arlene McMichael.